Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. There are some things that I'm really happy about tonight, and there's some things, of course, I'm not so happy. You know, we always get revived when we come to a series of gospel meetings one way or the other, and of course we get some that gives us a lift, and we get some that lets us down. I was told I didn't need to look for more than a baker's dozen, whatever that is. That must be five or six, isn't it? And during this week, because this was Children's Week at school, there was two or three graduations, and I just have to learn to get along with the baker's dozen. I never went much to school, so I don't understand these baker's figures. But at any rate, I'm more than happy to see a goodly number out even on Monday night. And do you know, I thought if we could get to the resurrection number in the prayer meeting of men, and I hope you women had a good prayer meeting too, that we would do well, and we went by it tonight. There were seven last night, seven Sunday night, and I thought if we got to eight tonight, we'd be wonderful, but we got to nine. And I hope we get to 10 tomorrow. That's when everyone feels their responsibility. Now, God is working. I know of two that has been convicted and wanted to be saved already in these meetings. And there's others I know. Now, you are part of the meetings here. If you're saved at all, we are workers together with Him. Now, remember that we are workers together with Him. And certainly, if we're workers together, you need to be present every night. Now, of course, I know there's an excuse, it's a reason. I never put too much stock in graduation until I had four children of my own. And I'd had another series of meetings that I don't think I'd been able to take in Omaha if it hadn't been for my daughter graduate. And she told me, Daddy, if you don't come home for my graduation, I'll never forgive you. So I learned that 13 years I've been looking forward to that great event of graduating. And I certainly think that all fathers and mothers should attend the graduation of their children. So I learned that through my own children. See, if a man is not married, he don't know what I'm talking about. He's only a half a man. And I feel sorry. We have six young fellas in our meeting and they can't get weddings. And I really feel sorry for them. And then we had a bachelor there for 2 weeks of meetings. He's 45 years of age and he said he never had time to think about getting married. And a little child gave a little cheek one night, and do you know he told the mother to get up and take the child out and put it to bed. First time the woman was ever in a gospel meeting in her lifetime, and she had to get up because the child said amen. And some of the older people should say amen. You know, I feel sorry for a person that has never been married, never had a family, because they're missing something. You see, I started out just alone in the world, and I met a young man today that I used to preach to the whole family, in fact, led most of the family to Christ in my single days. And that's our young brother, Riddler. And I know what it is to be single, I know what it is to be married. I didn't get married till I was 30 years of age. And I'm sure you felt sorry for me because nobody would take me, see, so I had to do the best I could. And then I started out alone, and then I got a great big tugboat pulling along with me. And then later on I got a barge, and then another one joined me. And finally I had four barges pulling along behind me. And do you know that the barges today have drifted away out in the ocean, and I'm left just where I started. Oh, I still got the tugboat, but it's getting pretty weak already. So you pray for us, and thank God. God has not only given me the four children, but He has saved them, and each of the four today are busy for the Lord. They're all active in the things of God. God has been gracious to us. We started out a good number of years with that little tax. God is faithful. And I say after 30 years of married life, you'll soon know my age. On 30 years of single life, that He has not failed of all the good things that He has promised to me. Not one jot or tittle has failed, dear friends. I came to know him when I was a boy. I came to know him as my personal and individual Savior. And I say from the very depth of my heart, that the only thing I'm sorry for, I didn't get to know him sooner. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I have held the hands of many, many people as they passed out into the great beyond. I can tell you story after story, dear friend. I have never heard one of God's children say to me, as they held my hands, I'm passing out over the shore, I've never heard one say, Tom, I'm sorry I trusted the Lord Jesus. Not one, dear friends. But I've held the hands of sinners without one ray of hope. And as they held my hand, their hand got tighter and tighter. Tom, it's getting dark. I'm going out into the darkness. Can't you do something? Oh, dear friends, it's a sad thing to serve the devil, lust and pleasure, and then have to cross the boundary line into the depth of sin, into the depth of darkness, into the depth of remorse, into the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone forever. Dear friends, you are to be saved tonight. There is no time to waste. The dark clouds of judgment is over our heads. God says so, and we can see them on every hand. And when we see these things, we are told that the coming of the Lord Jesus is very, very near. So near that we can almost hear his footsteps on the threshold of the door. The clouds are thickening, I say. Judgment is around us on every hand. And men are occupied with reaching and sitting on the moon, which they will never do, dear friends. And I say from with all the love in my heart, that they have set out to do something, and they'll never be satisfied until they do it, and God will come down and laugh at the whole thing. I say with this book before me tonight, that the heavens of the heavens is the Lord's, and the earth was made for mankind. The moon was given as well as the sun and the stars to throw light, to flood light on this scene that you and I are living in. And what you need, if you want to go into space, if you want to go in, my friends, into this new world, there's only one way that you can possibly get through. And that is, you won't even need one of these man-made space suits. God's going to give you a space suit, a new body, that's climated to the climate, and you're going to enjoy his presence in the thought heaven, and that's forever and ever. Now I want you to notice this portion that's before me, right here in the 7th chapter of the book of Matthew, beginning with verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way which leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are raving wolves. Ye shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns and figs of thistles? Even so every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore by their fruits ye shall know them. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of the Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew ye. Depart from me, ye that do works of iniquity. Therefore whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto the wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, And it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now when you read this, I want to remind you that this is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is the last part of the sermon. It occupies about 3 chapters. And you'll notice in connection with the portion that we have here, it's true that he spoke the Sermon on the Mount to the disciples. But it's also true that he took in more than the disciples. He took in the unconverted that you can see here. And it's also true that it took in the entire world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Now I just notice a few things before we look at the chap behind me tonight. First of all, the portion that I have read to you is divided very clearly into a different sets of truths. There are 2 gates leading to 2 different ways. There are 2 companies of travelers traveling to one destiny or another. There are 2 destinies. And then there are 2 fruit trees and 2 different ends, 2 builders and 2 houses and 2 foundations. And the outcome of the 2 houses, the 2 foundations, is seen as the storm strikes. Then you'll notice the last part of the chapter, it takes in some very interesting things. If we go on the broad way, we are told that we'll end in destruction. If we go on the narrow way, we are told that we'll end in the glory. And then if we bear evil fruit, we're going to be cast in to the fire, just as corrupt prey. And then notice again, our works will be burned, of course, and our lives will be lost. And then, of course, you can see, in connection with the 2 houses, the foundation that we were building on meant so much. If we build on the right foundation, not even hell itself can overturn the house. For I am persuaded, says the apostle, that neither death nor hell, principalities, things present, things to come, height or depth or any other creature, shall ever separate me from the love that's in Christ Jesus. And if we are building on the rock which is Christ, everything will end right. And if we're not building on the rock which is Christ, everything will not be right. The end will be destruction. The fruit trees, we read that a good fruit tree cannot bring forth anything but good fruit. It says, by the fruit you shall know them. There's one little verse of scripture that everybody in Oklahoma, especially in the part that I live, they seem to know that one verse, and they say, well, Brother Tom, I heard you on the radio the other night, and I have to say that you shouldn't judge. They call me up when they write the letters. And I get my hairs pulled sometimes. You can see why the hair is getting long. And they tell me when I'm wrong, of course, at least where they think I'm wrong. But the fact remains the same, that a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Now when I drop into a station to get some gasoline, which I do sometimes as my car needs to be refilled, why, if a man starts to use the name of God in vain, I put my hand up and says, Mister, stop him and stop running that gas in. I said, well, now what seems to be your trouble? I says, you're talking about my father, and I says, you have insulted me. You see, when you talk about your father and use bad words like that, you shouldn't just let a man continue doing that. I went in to get a tire change. I had a brand new Goodyear tire. One of the best is there. and went 150 miles and blew up like a shotgun. I stopped into a place to show them the goodness of the tire, and they got this man, and then they got another man, and then they got some what they called the big shot. It was one of these head officers. And he came out and he began to curse and swear. He says, you must have run over one of these specs on a railroad crossing. I says, listen, mister, you are taking the name of my father in vain, and I don't want to listen to you. You put that tire back in the car, and I says, I don't want to see your face. I don't want to hear you, because God says he that taketh the name of God in vain, he will not hold them guiltless. And I says, you will not be held guiltless. I don't want a new tire from you. The man disappeared, and I thought to put the old tire back on, and in 2 or 3 minutes had a brand new tire and out of the place again. Let me tell you something, friends. You can't get away by taking the name of God in vain. And if you are using the name of God in vain, let me tell you that a corrupt tree can bring nothing but corrupt fruit. And a good tree cannot bring forth anything but good fruit. The only thing that the old nature can do, my friend, is bring forth corrupt fruit. And you can, oh, you may not judge, because the Bible says that you're not to be a judge, but you sure can be a fruit inspector. And that's what I am, a fruit inspector. If I see the wrong fruit on the tree, then I know that it's not a good tree. And that's what I knew about the head Goodyear man, that it wasn't a good tree, although he put a good tire on. Now, we come right to a little story for tonight. You see that I've got a different background from any other night. This background that's behind me is nothing new. And it's nothing new to be used possibly in the gospel hall right here on Hamilton Street. This little church here behind me has stood the test for many a year. It has been through at least 2 cyclones. When my tent was taken right up into the aerial heavens, and the seats and the chairs were carried blocks away, this cat went also away. It has been through at least 3 or 4 washing machines. And yet today it comes out in all its colors. An unsaved man attended the meetings, and he says, my, he says, that's an unusual thing that that chap is still showing up. I said, I just run it through the washing machine. He says, could you let me have that chart for a week? I says, you sure can have that chart for a week. And when I got it back, it was looking a little better than it is tonight. He says, you know, he said, I had the joy of fixing that chart up, and God saved my soul when I was doing it. It's a wonderful thing. He says, I couldn't look at that black place and to realize I'm taking something where I'm going to spend eternity forever, and later in the lake of fire. And he says, I got down on my knees as I was taking the chart. And he said, oh, God, save me from going down to this terrible place. And God saved him. It's a real thing, my friends, to be saved and know it. Now you notice that the title of the chart is very, very simple. It may be the 2 roads and the 2 destinies. Now that's all that there are. There's only 2 roads. There is one that leads down, and there's one that leads up. And these 2 roads are traveled by 2 different kinds of travelers. And you were in the meeting tonight, and let me remind you that you're on one of these 2 roads. And you're going to one of the 2 destinies. One leads down to a place called Hell, H-E-L-L. That's the word that you're familiar with. And it leads down to a place of darkness and despair, and later to the lake of fire. The other road is a narrow road, ended by a narrow gate, and it leads up to heaven and glory. Now you can easily see, as you look at the chart, that it's not only divided into 2, a narrow way and a broad way, but there's also a door here that takes you right to the narrow way. Now the entrance of this road here is entered by a broad door. That simply means that every one of you have already entered this road here. There is not
an individual in this nation tonight that has not entered by the broad door right onto the broad way. You say when you come into the world pure as a little child, yes, you come into the world pure. You come forth like a flower. But the word of God says you're soon cut dry. Nevertheless, when you come forth into this old world here, you come forth like a flower, but God says that we're all born the same way. And that is, we are born in sin, and again in Psalm 51, and shaken in iniquity. That's how you were born, that's how I was born. Then you will also notice that there is only one rope to start out with. This last while, I had to preach some funerals, and most of them were the funerals of little children from 1 year to 2 years. It's a sad thing to have to preach a funeral of a little tot. I never did joy to it. And you look there at the mother and the father, weeping as you think your heart with breath. I could tell them, thank God, the child is already in the arms of a loving Savior, for here upon this earth he said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for I'll structure the kingdom of God. Dear friends, in all things you have the preeminence. There will be more people in heaven than there will be in hell. And yet you say, as you listen to my voice, brother, come you wrong, because we reach wide as the gate and broad as the way that leadeth down to death and destruction, and many go down to that. How do we have the preeminence in the end? Dear friends, he'll have the preeminence because he says in all things he has the preeminence. The reason there'll be more people in heaven than there will be in hell, because he claims the children. You can go to the child, but the child cannot return unto you. And so here is a little period until the child comes to the age of accountability to know what is right and to know what is wrong. Now you ask me what age that is. Some children mature quicker than others. My own family, every one of them was saved, thank God, before they come to the age of 12. It's a wonderful thing to be saved early in life and to get a good start on the road to heaven for God. And I feel sorry for one of them not saved before they get into heaven. It gets harder and harder all the time. God saves the church. Then you'll notice that when you come to the age of accountability, that there's a choice to be made. And there's a choice to be made tonight. You young people are going to have to make a choice. Those that are graduating are going to have to make a choice. You're going to make a wise choice and you're going to make a foolish choice. Best choice you possibly can make is to enter that door tonight. Choose you this day, not tomorrow, tomorrow may be too late. Choose you this day whom you will serve. Are you going to serve the lovely person, the Lord Jesus? Are you going to serve the devil himself? Serve the devil lust and pleasure. You must make the choice. The door is open. Now that's not a church. That door is personal. John 10:9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Shall go in and out and find pasture. Christ is the door. And to get on the narrow way, to start from the room to heaven, you must enter the door, you must receive Christ. I was surprised because they tell me, especially these Irish and Scots, they're all the ghosts. You have to put up a little bit with me because I happen to be born twice in Ireland. Don't know that it is, God has forgiven me. Although a preacher took me to the stand the other day and said, Brother John, God
I was born twice today. On the county knows that is the smartest in the world. But I was surprised when they asked them a simple question, over 600 children threatened to be a death sentence in the year 1960. I was surprised to ask them such a simple question. You know the question that why do you give to them? You know the story of Noah when he went into the ark? You know that story? Well, I asked those children, maybe those smart children, just one little question. What was it that saved those 8 souls? Do you know not one in 600 people to tell? You think they're real smart? Now, I know you people are smarter than that. What was it saved those 8 souls? I'm going to ask you bigger ones first, because I want to see how you just as smart as you are over there. It's saved them. I mean you, I don't know your first name. What was it saved those 8? Yes. The ark, all right. That's a good question, but I'm sorry to say that that's not the answer. If the ark saved them, everyone, the ark of Toluvi was saved because the ark stood as a monument right before them there. Now, I knew you were going to joke to you about it. You know, you said you're not going to catch you in words. That's not the word. Well, that's not what I mean at all. In fact, I wanted you to say the ark. You would have spoiled the whole thing if you hadn't said the right answer. But that's not what saved the 8 souls. Can you tell me what saved those souls? Now we're getting right down here. What the devil said that believe in God and what they said. Now you're getting closer. You're getting hot. Now I know you are smarter. I know you girls are smarter than those enemies girls are. Who could tell me what saved those 8 souls? Now I can't. All right. Well, now, you're getting me into a corner. You're getting me into a corner because if I told you the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, did the stand from all sin, you don't need no regrets when you ask me. You see, I can't tell you wrong. You're on a safe side. But that's not the answer I want. What would have saved those 8 souls in the day of Noah? We read that Noah. Oh, you say, I know. I know. What would have saved him? Now remember, we have only one door. What is it that saves sinners today? Ye must what? I almost don't. I know you boys are smarter than girls. What is it that saves people today? What would have saved those 8 souls in the days of Noah? Come on, you show these girls you're smart. I almost told you, I almost quoted the little grass of the hymn. Ye must what? All right, give it your hand up a little quick. Did you have your hand up? Or let us hear. Now you're getting down to me. You're using terms, good terms, but I want you to use just the term that's on my heart tonight. You see, this little door here, when you read this, we're taken from John 10 and 9. He said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Now, if you and I are going to be saved, we must. A little louder, I can't hear only 25%, so you have to talk now. You must what? Well, that's true, I know that, but that's not the answer to the question right now. Now listen to what I say, I'm answering this part. Now being born again is the same answer, don't misunderstand. It says, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be. Now how do you get saved, or how was those 8 souls saved? Did you have your hand up? Why? They believed, all right, I'll have to tell you. Do you see? I'm almost surprised. I thought you were smarter than most people over in Ireland. But I'll tell you. The word of God says you must enter through the door. How do you get saved? You must enter through the door. Now, the different one of you girls told me how we can enter through the door. One little girl told me, why, you've got to believe in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how you enter the door. And the moment you believe that the Lord Jesus shed his blood on Calvary's cross for your sins, you enter the door. So
if anybody should ask you what saved those eight souls in the days of Noah, you can simply tell them they entered through the door into the ark.
Now the ark speaks of Christ.
When you have to enter into tonight,
there was a storm of judgment that fell upon that ark. The heavens were black over their heads, and the rain started to come down, and the foundation of the deep was broken up. And there, all those little eight souls were inside that ark of safety. And there were abodes. The eight souls were saved by water. One man stood right up on the left of Houston, Texas, and he tried to tell me that you had to have water to be saved. I said, doctor, he was a doctor. I said, what do you mean by talking about being saved by water? He said, eight souls were saved by water. I said, why was the eight souls saved by water? Was there water in the ark? He said, I don't know how to say. I said, doctors don't tell lies. I said, you know exactly what I mean. Was there any water in the ark? He said, what are you trying to get out? Was there any water outside the ark? He says, of course there was. Well, if water saved, don't you think that the antediluvians have the best thing? And he says, well, what do you think about the eunuch? I says, what do you think about the eight souls being saved by water? And the water came up, the boat raised, resurrection, they were on the top, dear friends. And thank God, the moment we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, we can say, glory to God, we're on the resurrected side. Philip and Jeff believed and was saved. The thief on the cross believed, and he couldn't even get down into the waters of baptism, and he was saved. Today shalt thou be with me in paradise. If there's one here tonight and you'd like to be saved tonight, you'd like to enter the ark tonight, oh, just take a look at the Lord Jesus. What did he do? He left heaven, and he came into this world, and he was in this world a stranger, and do you know he never committed a sin in his life? And he didn't even have to die. You see, the reason he had to die is because he was sinners. And he didn't sin, he knew no sin. And he was the only man that was in the world that didn't have to die, and yet he went into death with him. Why did he go into death with him? You and I were guilty of sin, and the wages of sin was death. And the Lord Jesus said, I step right into death, Lord. And I'll pay the penalty for you. And you can walk out free. Jesus, take it all, Lord, and in my own, sit up like the crimson stain, and wash as white as snow. It's just like this. That arm represents you. See, that's just that arm just represents you, the sinner. And that stick represents your sins. Now, you can't get through that door with your sins. That's a narrow door, and you can't get through it with your sins. Before you get through that sin, before you get through that door, that sin must be put away. And you say, how can I have those sins put away? Oh, my sin, how can I have that sin put away? It's very easy. This hand represents Christ. And the moment that you put your faith in Christ, you know that he died for you. God takes your sins, and he lays them on his Son. My sins were laid on Jesus, and believe me, I am free. You say, what's the meaning of that? That's the meaning of Isaiah 53. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised for my iniquities. The very chastisement or punishment that I should have had for my sin, he took it. And with his stripes, I'm saved today. What is it that saves me? Christ paid the penalty, and I go free. That's how I got saved. That's how you get saved. Would you like to be saved tonight? You say, well, I just don't know what is meant by faith. You know what's meant by faith? Did you see Christ on the cross? Of course you didn't see Christ on the cross. Because you weren't born when Christ was in this world. Did you didn't even feel him with your hands on the cross. That's way back almost 2,000 years ago. Then you say, how can I know he died? He said he did. While I was yet without strength, in due time Christ died for me.
He died for you too. How do I know? I know it because he said, I accept it by faith. That's how you get. I'm being justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not even going to get a man to illustrate this chapter. I won't even get that far from him. There are two roads, a broad road and a narrow road. The narrow road is entered by a door. That door is a person. That person is the Lord Jesus. And if you're going to be in heaven, you must enter the door. You must accept Christ as your Savior. And if you accept Christ as your Savior, you start on this narrow road. Now, I'm sure that you'd like to start. You can't start too soon. You see, Christ might come at any moment. And you don't want to be left there and say, see, there's two doors. And this door here, oh, that's a closed door. And it says, depart. Oh, dear friends, you couldn't afford to be on the outside of the door. You nice looking girls couldn't afford to be on. You boys couldn't afford to be on the outside of that door. No, 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 no. But you should be on the inside of this door. See, there's just two doors. One door, and yet sides are two. I'm on the inside. Which side are you on inside? Christ will come to that. And you don't want to be on the outside of the door. Then you'll notice that there's a monument. Now that is not a very nice monument. D-E-A-T-H, death. And you notice that this monument crosses the broad road as well as the narrow road. If death overtakes you on this road, your body will be put into a casket where the lower down is the 6 foot of Mother Earth. You saw those things happen. But you'll be down here. Your soul, oh, you say, I don't know what the soul is. Well, you should know what the soul is. You know what the soul is? Do you know what the soul is, Gary? It's the person that looks through these eyes here. It's the person that hears through these ears here. It's the person that speaks through these lips or doors. It's the person that understands with the heart. It's the person that lives in this house of clay, this tent, propped up in two poles. It's the real person. You see, when the old tent topples over and you die, the real person moves out. Well, you can talk to the old tent and Johnny, how are you? With no answer. See, the person's gone. See, a dead man needs life. And if you die here, your soul will go out here. And it will wait the resurrection. There's two resurrections. This is the resurrection of damnation here. And you'll stand before the great white throne of judgment to get your final sentence to be cast into the lake of fire. You couldn't. You can't take any chances. Man, you say, this road here, look at the fun we have. We are under the reign of Satan. He's the prince of power up here. Look at the fun. Look at the good time we have. My, it's wonderful. But then think of death. And think of spending an eternity forever and ever and ever in a fire that's never quenched. You should be saved to it. Then when you start on this road here, and death overtakes you, your body goes into the casket, lower than a 6 foot of Mother Earth, but you're up here. That's where Jesus is. Where Jesus is, tis heaven there. Now you'll notice that the church is yellow up here. That's the gold color, I should say. That represents heaven. And you see, if you die on this road, it's absent from the body, at home with the Lord. I had a very dear friend in Texas, and one day he came into his office. He's a wealthy millionaire, and he told the office staff, he says, you know, I got a look into heaven. He says, after being on the road for over 50 years. He says, God, give me a look into heaven. He says, open the door, and I looked in. And he says, I want you to take the outline note and call Brother Tom McCullough here to the office immediately if possible. And I want to preach my funeral. He said, I'm going home to heaven tomorrow. I thought he was off the head here. Then he went out and he called the brethren together and the sisters together and he gave them his farewell message. Why, he said, it's wonderful. After so many years, I just got to look into heaven. He said, thine is not faith or here or heaven. Neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them. And you know, he did after he had talked to them and made all his arrangements. He went back to his home and laid his head there and died. It's a wonderful thing to go to heaven. For me to live is Christ, to die at this gate. Absent from the body, present at home with the Lord. Then, of course, you'll notice there's a little detour here. We won't take time on any of these, but that tells us that the Lord Jesus not only died on Calvary's cross, not only was buried, but he was raised again. And then he went back to where he came, he went back to heaven. And he said, if I go, I come again. He's coming for those that are saved. And if he comes, you know what's going to happen? Every saved one will disappear. The dead in Christ first, and we that are alive and remain shall be caught up to meet the Lord in the air. Wouldn't you like to be saved tonight? Wouldn't you like to be ready for his return? And then, of course, when Jesus comes, something's going to happen. This door will be shut. Instead of calls, you'll have to be marked. And another man will come wearing the crown. And this is the Antichrist. This is the man of sin. Oh, I'm not going to tell you about him tonight. But as soon as the church is taken out, he will make his appearance. He may be in the world now. The things we see are leading up to the real thing. Oh, friends, you and I can't afford to enter into this part. No, no, no. And then after this part, which is known as Jacob's trouble, and known to you as the great tribulation, the Lord Jesus is coming in his last aspect, and this time he's coming in flaming fire, taking vengeance on all them that know not God and obey not the gospel. And oh, dear friends, there's a terrible time coming for those that are out of Christ. That's as far as we can go tonight. I asked you, if you're not a Christian, that you just bow your head, make sure that you enter that door. When you like to enter that door tonight, you're not too young. There's none too young to trust the Savior. You know, he says, suffer the little children to come. And if you are older, don't put it off another day. I know it's harder to get saved when you're old, but it's getting worse all the time. Just as we see the time is fast moving by, bow your head with me right now and trust the Savior and you'll be saved. He died for you. He's asking you to come, and when you trust him, tell somebody about it. That thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He died for you. He paid you.